This week's episode of the Worn and Wound podcast is brought to you by Bulova and their Computron line of watches. Originally launched in the 1970s, the modern Computron pays homage to the retrofuturistic styling of the original with a sharp trapezoidal case and iconic LED display. Stay tuned for later in the episode for more on the new Bulova Computron. Thanks for tuning in to the Worn and Wound podcast. On this week's episode, we're talking about our upcoming wind-up watch fair, taking place October 25th through the 27th at Chelsea Market right here in New York City. If there's something that you want us to cover in a future episode of the podcast, then be sure to hit us up via email at info@wornandwound.com. Hey everyone, Ilya here, and joining me on the podcast this week is Zach.
How's it going?
And Blake.
Hey.
And today we're going to talk about our upcoming New York City Wind-Up Watch Fair. Before we get into all that, let's get the wrist check out of the way. Blake, what are you wearing?
Sure. So I'm actually wearing a watch that just got into the office. It's a Yema Speedgraph. Mm-hmm. So it's a chronograph. They're currently pre-selling. It's not out yet. This is, I think, a production prototype. Super cool. We were just talking. It like literally just came in, put it on my wrist. But yeah, it's like really nice proportions. Very cool. The quality of Yema's watches is really great. So
yeah,
this is definitely up to that standard.
It's got a nice vintage vibe, but a really good modern chronograph movement in it, the Seiko NE88.
Yeah, super cool. I was just saying, like, I like these kind of smaller chronographs that are kind of fat in the middle, and, like, it doesn't have that wobble feeling, like, as I kind of wiggle my hand a little bit, like...
Yeah, well, it's not the Valjoux.
Oh, you mean, like, the watch itself?
The literal weight. It doesn't help when it also has the Valjoux wobble, but, like, when it just feels like it's kind of sitting on top of your wrist, wobbling around, it doesn't feel like that. Like, it feels nice.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Zach, what about you?
I have on our recently released Stoa collaboration, the Flieger Verus Grau, as it's called. So I've been wearing this pretty consistently since we launched it like a week ago or whenever that was. Very excited about this release.
Yeah, people seem to be really excited about it too.
The response has been fantastic. You know, Stoa is a great brand to work with on these because they really get the little tweaks we like to make and execute them really well. You know, things like the gray date wheel, you know, it's like we ask for it, not sure if we'll get it, but we always, you know, come through on that. And a little detail like that, I think, kind of makes this watch work.
Mm-hmm. So, it's also just a fun take on a pilot watch, a little bit more modern graphic than some of the older, more vintage-styled ones.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he actually won a Red Dot Award for this watch, the Verus.
Awesome.
And I think it's, you know, partially because it is a little bit of a modernized Flieger, and it's still very traditional, but it has these, like, all the markers are rounded, all the typefaces rounded, so you get a little bit of, like, yeah, I don't know, a little bit more of, like, a Braun meets Flieger kind of a feel off of it.
Sure.
And then the gray just makes it much more kind of, like, you know, kind of casual.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I am wearing a Tudor Black Bay 58 on a crown and buckle chevron strap with it's a navy one with a little like golden stripe, so it picks up the golden warmer accent of the 58 quite well.
Yeah. How long have you had that watch?
I had that watch for like 2.5 months. Then it went away for service for a new dial, and then I just recently got it back.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason I thought, I guess because it went away for service, it feels like you haven't had it very long.
Yeah.
Like, so is it as good as, I mean, we talked about this, is it as good as, like, you think it is? Because, you know, obviously the review, no, but it's like after Basel, we were all like, oh man, that's the watch you got to get. And then you did the review and your conclusion was like, it's pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
You know, not to paraphrase, but
no, I mean,
is it that good?
Yeah. I mean, I was probably like one of the few naysayers in that I wasn't super smitten with like the warmth of the
gold,
design, the like gold it. And the sort of creamy lume. But when you actually own the watch and you wear it, those aren't real complaints, like, you know, in my opinion, it's one of the best watches in Tudor's lineup, but for the original Pelagos, which I'm also a big fan of, the two-line one.
The one I have.
The OG.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so wind-up.
Yeah.
What year of wind-up is this?
This is the fifth year.
God.
The big five.
Nice.
Five.
Yeah.
How's it five? That's crazy. Like,
it feels
that's
longer.
Just hitting me right now. It feels longer. Well,
because we do multiple shows a year now.
Yeah, but to me, it's just like, I feel like, I mean, not to like interrupt, but it's just like, it feels like we just thought of it not that long ago and then did it. And now it's 5 years.
I mean, five years ago is really not that long ago, but it's like everything moves really fast. So,
I mean, this is a little like
a decade
in the weeds too, but like, I also like think about where Worn and Wound was 5 years ago is like, it's frightening to think that we ran an event when we were at that scale.
Well, you're always at your biggest in the present, you know?
Yeah,
so, like,
sure,
it made
totally.
Sense.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully you are.
Okay,
yeah. But yeah, so there's a lot that goes on in my head when I think about that. But yeah,
is,
I agree.
Is thinking about this causing like a little bit of like an existential crisis?
No, thankfully. The wind-up does not stress me out so much anymore. Yeah. It used to stress me out a lot more, but now it's like whatever.
It's pre-fire festival, so like the idea of like
said,
a total disaster.
I can't watch things like that. Like watching movies specifically about events, but like any movie or documentary that's about like someone running a business and things go horribly wrong. Yeah. It's just like the nightmare comes to life. And I did watch the Fyre Festival documentaries, but I did not enjoy them.
Yeah, but the difference there being is the people behind Fyre Festival were basically criminals. So.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. Yeah, well, there's a lot of difference between us.
Yeah.
Zach's nothing like Ja Rule.
Come on, don't ruin the mystique.
Yeah, so Wind Up. So for those who don't know or those who want to hear it again, Wind Up is supposed to be more or less the watch event for everybody. So, you know, when 5 years ago, Zach and I were going to watch events, generally feeling pretty uncomfortable. They were pretty stuffy, bit exclusive feeling. You had to dress up. You often had to be invited, you know, yada, yada, yada. Just not really the environment where we felt most comfortable. We were simultaneously going to sort of fun, sort of menswear lifestyle, like home goods events, things like that, like pop-up flea and just different sort of pop-up events and being like, oh, this is great. Like, I want to spend a lot of time here and learn about these products.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's just do this for watches. And I think we were actually coming back from one of those that we had actually worked at. And we were just like, screw it. We need to do this. Like, it's stupid that we're not doing it. And I think Zach came up with the idea for the name in the car. And then like, we just started working on it.
We were in
a
cab stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
As I recall.
Yeah. But yeah, so the idea is just to bring together all the types of brands that you typically see on Worn and Wound in an environment that's really approachable, like not stuffy, not intimidating. Mm-hmm. You know, we want people who read the site, people who are buying expensive watches, more affordable watches, people, you know, and people on the street who aren't buying watches to come in and check it out. So that's why we do it in places like Chelsea Market, or, you know, when we do it in San Francisco, it's right off of Union Square, you know, somewhere accessible. So, you know, that's the whole idea of Wind Up. It's just a cool place to come see all kinds of watches. And in the last 5 years, you know, it started with 12 brands and now we're at 40 in New York. Mm-hmm. We're in the 30s, I think, in San Francisco, maybe a little bit less than that. You know, it ranges everywhere from brands like Oris. You know, they've been our lead sponsor for a long time and they're just like that sort of like really great shining example of like an independent watch brand doing crazy stuff, you know, crazy good. But all the way, you know, we have strap accessory brands like Crown and Buckle, and we have, you know, brands that launched, you know, months ago. I remember we had Baltic, I think 6 months after they had launched their huge Kickstarter that, you know, launched that brand. So really just running the whole gamut, and, you know, we'll talk about it more this year, but, you know, for us, it's all about just like brands that offer a lot of value and offer interesting watches and are the watches that people want to see. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the loose parameters. I don't think you're ever going to see, I mean, I shouldn't even say that because like StockX comes and they bring, I was going to say you're not going to see a $10,000, $15,000 watch, but I mean, they come and they bring like crazy heat and, you know.
Steel sport watches.
Yeah.
Brands that you can't buy steel watches.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like you can go to the StockX booth and see an ultra rare G-Shock. You can see a Rolex Steel model. You can see, I mean, they've brought like really high-end stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've had long A's and APs.
And they just want to show you. And that's the other thing. It's like the people who are bringing the crazy high-end stuff are normal people who want to show you the product and like check it out, which that just doesn't really happen anywhere
else. You can't really go to a boutique. Like you feel self-conscious going to a boutique and asking to see that like, you know, $140,000 AP or whatever. Like you won't have the same experience here.
Yeah, totally. And then that's the other thing is, you know, with some limited exceptions, like the watches are all for sale. So, you know, we think it's, you know, if I were not in the position that I am, like not in the watch industry, like this would be my preferred way of buying a watch. You know, if I were just like a dude on the street, it's like, it's a fun place. It's a fun environment. You talk to the people behind the brands, you get to know what it's all about. And, you know, the watches are right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what Wind Up's all about. And we're excited to do it for the fifth year. And again, we'll get into this, but it's growing and we're going to do it more and we're going to do it more places and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. In your opinion, how important do you think it is that like the actual people behind the brands are there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's always the best when the people behind the brands can be there. And I think, you know, in some cases that can't be the case, like with a much larger brand, you know, it's always gonna be sales representatives. But I think, you know, it works best when those people have like a real passion for the brand. Mm-hmm. And I think the folks that we have working at the event or coming to the event are those types of people. I always use this example, but and not just, you know, because they've been involved for so long, but like the Oris team really cares about that brand. They have a personal relationship to that brand. You know, Vijay, Angela, like the people you talk to at the booth are going to talk, like you might as well think they're the Orises. You know what I mean? So like they're, you know, that's really important. But also, you know, come to a wind-up and see people talk to Etienne at Baltic or Jason from Halios or like any of these guys, the folks at Laurier, I mean, it's like if you wanted to really get to the people behind the brand, they're all there and they're happy to talk to you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that we're doing a little bit different this year is we've sort of, would you say formally or informally partnered with Watch Time?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we formally collaborated, you know, definitely still separate events.
Yeah.
You know, we made a conscious effort to actually have the events on the same weekend this year.
Mm-hmm.
That happened accidentally. Our events are both 5 years. So congratulations to Watch Time on 5 years of running a great event.
Yeah.
They launched their event the same weekend ours did in the first year unintentionally or vice versa. But this year, you know, after years of doing it on different weekends and realizing that people are coming into town for the events and they're kind of going between them anyway, we just wanted to sort of team up and have them on the same weekend and really encourage that. So, you know, this year the events are both going to be going on over the same weekend. Watch Times, there's a Friday evening reception, then it's open all day on Saturday. And Wind-Up is going to be October 25th to the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Friday through a Sunday in Chelsea Market, New York City. As always, it's free and open to the public. Hours are 11 to 6 on Friday, 11 to 7 on Saturday, and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be there all weekend. You should definitely come by and say hi.
Yeah.
And, you know, their event is very different from ours, but also very complimentary. You know, we're really focused, I think, on generally speaking, a lower price point. You know, you're going to see a lot more micro brands and things like that. But there's some crossover. Like, I'm pretty sure that Oris is doing both events, mm-hmm. which is awesome. But then you're going to go to their event, and you're going to see brands like, they have Grand Seiko there, I believe, and they have some really high-end independents. But yeah, you should definitely check out the website. And if you're interested in, if you're in the city, certainly if you're coming into town for Wind-Up and you're in the city, like mm-hmm. get a ticket for Watch Time, because you're going to see a collection of watches you're not seeing here, and vice versa. If you're planning on going to Watch Time only, like definitely check out Wind-Up.
For sure, make it a weekend of watches.
And between the two events, it's like over 70 brands will be represented, which makes it like larger in, you know, brands than something like SAHH or mm-hmm. you know, some of those shows. So it's, you know, becoming a very, you know, big watch focused weekend in the city. And, you know, like Blake said, it's very complimentary. You know, sure, you might not be buying a Carly Vuitelanen watch. Good. I mean, if you are, congratulations. But to get to see those, you know, in person is a very exceptional experience. And
yeah,
really at Watch Time New York or their events is one of the few places you can. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think, you know, very similarly, though their event is, you know, the brands there are typically a bit higher end, like, you know, within, you know, relative to that community, like it's a much more approachable event. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of place where you can really just come and dig into watches and see people. But, you know, yeah, just to give you an idea of the brands that are there. So they have Lange is going to be there, you know, Arm & Strom, Bell & Ross, Braymont will be there, Breguet, Grand Seiko. I mean, just, you know, really, really great brands that you're very familiar with. Omega will be there, RGM. So just a lot of great brands to see and check out. So yeah, like if you're in the city for our event, definitely go check them out too. And
actually being able to see RGM outside of going to Pennsylvania is a pretty sweet deal.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. And again, speak to the folks behind those brands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when we were, last time we were there, Roland was at the table.
Yep.
So meet the R in RGM.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about the sponsors who are helping make this year's show possible.
Yeah.
Oris, as you mentioned, is returning as our lead sponsor, and they've been a supporter of the show since the very beginning.
Yeah.
They're one of the pillar, you know, worn and wound brands that we've like covered since the early days. I mean, they make great bang for your buck value watches, but also like really well made, incredibly high quality, great design, and like every year like push the envelope with what it is that they can accomplish. So especially this year.
Yeah, and I mean obviously really well known for some of those like, you know, excessively priced watches like the Diver 65 mm-hmm. and the Pro Pilot and stuff. And then they've always had their sort of like in-house line of watches. And this year, you know, their big release is the Pro Pilot X mm-hmm. Caliber 115, mm-hmm. the new movement and the skeletonized dial and just this crazy construction. And it's gotten a really good response online. So what's really cool is it'll be there. They also have this really incredible like virtual reality experience that we actually have gotten to see a couple times at press events. And it is just really cool.
Yeah,
like you go inside the watch, you can kind of see the movement from inside the watch.
You hear loud, thunderous ticking around you. It's very dramatic.
You look like a dork while you're doing it, but it's awesome.
Yeah, but that, like you're going to actually be able to do that at the event.
Yeah,
so,
it's
like,
very cool.
It's really neat. Yeah, I would definitely come and check that out. And I know they're going to have a lot of other cool new stuff, so mm-hmm. which we'll, you know, we'll talk about more in the future. So
yeah, some of it's under embargo right now, so we can't really mention it, but
Some
fun stuff coming out.
By the time this podcast comes out.
But they also, stuff that has been released this year that's cool, like some of those recycled, mm-hmm. you know, plastic-inspired dive watches that they always have a really, you know, a good stance on environmental policies, and which is always very important. But then they did some really interesting things with those plastics, and they put them in the case backs, and they made packaging out of it. And they're just, those are very cool limited editions that, you know, hopefully will be represented.
Yeah, and they always have a big variety of product. So if you've been dying to see either the ProPilot X or a Diver 65 that was released a couple years ago, like, they probably have it. So definitely.
And RSLs.
Yep. And they sell at the show. So great time to pick one up.
Cool. Christopher Ward's coming back after they were at our very first windup. Yeah. They haven't been since, and this is their return to the show.
Yeah, very
really excited
about that.
Yeah. Especially this year too. I mean,
they've really hit been after killing hit. It this year.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, a few months ago, I reviewed the version 3 of the Trident Pro line, which, you know, is their kind of core dive watch line and probably their most popular watch, generally speaking. I think that's why they put a lot of energy into it.
Yeah.
And, like, the heights they've reached with their finishing, fit and finishing on those watches is really just exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, it's a light catcher case.
The light catcher. Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah, very, like,
Game of Thrones sword or something.
So, yeah, totally. And then they, you know, recently did the Apex version of that, which an interesting watch with, like, controversial in like a good way. Like, it's definitely a, it's going to provoke a reaction from it. It's going to be sort of a love it or hate it, but you can't not respect what they did with it. And they, you know, they used their in-house caliber, their 5-day chronometer caliber, but then worked with Arm & Strom to skeletonize it and decorate it in ways that I don't think I've seen any other watch movement ever decorated. And, you know, this is Christopher Ward, a brand that's, you know, a little over 10 years old and is kind of always been sort of on the outskirts of like the big watch industry because of how, you know, they've been direct to consumer and they're British and they've just done things differently. So for them to make things at this level, you know, I think it's a really bold statement.
Yeah.
And then they just released these watches that you just wrote about the other day.
Yeah, their military collection featuring insignia from the MOD. So not unlike what Braymont did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's three watches, each of them inspired by an iconic British military watch. There's a Diver and two field watches. One of them's kind of based on like the W10. The other one's based on the Omega Seamaster. Really cool watches.
Same like catcher case.
Yes.
They're around $1,000 and they're all chronometers,
which is a crazy deal.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see those watches.
Yeah. So yeah, very cool that Chris Ward's back and they're bringing some heavy hitters.
Yeah. One of our other sponsors is StockX, who you just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, they'll be there with an entire display of sort of high-end pieces that you otherwise probably would not be able to see now.
Yeah. Yeah, and just easy to get your hands on them. And frankly, you know, if you're looking to pick up some of that stuff, I mean, like, they, you know, they're
selling.
Sell
to show?
Yeah, they've sold a few really cool pieces in San Francisco.
We never quite know what they're going to bring beforehand. Yeah. It's always, I think they kind of like have a budget and they do the best they can with it, but they've done really well in previous years. Yeah. They had some exciting stuff.
I mean, last year
going to all be wearing crazy sneakers.
You have to. Last year they had like all the steel like Rolex models that you wanted, right?
Yeah.
And like I think somebody at the San Francisco show ended up picking one up, right?
Probably. Yeah. And then San Francisco, they also had the Hodinkee IWC with this like that ceramic, black ceramic case, which was really cool.
Serentanium.
Which had just come out shortly before that.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Yeah. But yeah, they're always like a super popular table. They also have like cool swag.
Mm-hmm.
They have like cool hats and stuff.
Yeah, I think I have like 4 StockX caps that I've cycled through.
Yeah. But yeah, really excited to have them back.
Part of Bulova's archival series, the Modern Computron is a faithful recreation of the original 1976 model that, at the time, was considered unconventional and futuristic. The Computron features a distinctive trapezoidal case design, an angled LED display that activates with the push of a button on the side of the case. In addition to being truly unique, this design is also functional as a driver's watch, allowing for time to be read without the driver removing his or her wrist from the steering wheel. The Computron is available in 3 unique colorways, gold tone, steel, and black. Both the gold and steel models are paired with a matching steel bracelet, while the black model comes fitted in a black silicone strap. To learn more about the new Bulova Computron, head to bulova.com. That's bulova.com.
Our next sponsor is also a brand that's making their first appearance at the show, and that's Yema.
Yeah. Yeah,
really excited to have Yema here.
Very, very excited.
Yeah.
And they're just coming back to the States kind of in the last year, so it's really fantastic to have them a part of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, a brand that most or a lot of folks probably are very familiar with, maybe not as familiar with their modern pieces. You know, they've released a number of just like faithful recreations of their older models, and they're really well made. They're really beautiful watches, and yeah, they're going to have, you know, all of like the kind of current stuff with them. We're going to have the Speed Graph there as well. So if you want to pre-order the Speed Graph that's currently under pre-order, you'll be able to do that. I know they're trying to bring some stuff that's like currently sort of super limited, almost out. If they have any more pieces, they'll try to bring them to wind up and make them available to folks there. So
that's cool.
Yeah. No, I like super excited.
One of the cool things also about Yema that like, I feel like if you hadn't read about them or you might not be aware of, you know, is that they weren't like a brand that was brought back. They've been in continuous operation since the 1940s. They've only focused on the European market for the last, you know, couple of decades. So they're returning to the United States, but it's the same continuous operation, which, you know, there's a history there. It's not, they're not going back into their archives and remaking things. These are, you know, the watches they used to make, and they kind of have continued to always, they even have in-house movements, which is something we're kind of like, you know, learning about currently, but they're a very interesting company.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously most people are never, haven't had a chance to see these watches yet. So I've gotten DMs from people who are interested in Yema. So like definitely stop by, check out the watches in person. Because when we first saw them at Baselworld, was it this year or the year before?
This year.
We were pleasantly surprised. I mean, we had seen the brand from afar online, some people sharing and stuff.
Their chronographs are so cool.
Seeing them in person, like, they're really well done.
And they're chronographs that like, just you don't know they have, like, or they're just not as well sort of circulated. I think if you're familiar with Yema in the modern context, like you probably have seen the Superman Heritage. You maybe have seen the GMTs with the Coke and the Pepsi bezels they released recently that they pre-sold. Maybe the Speedgraph, but like
maybe the Andretti.
We did the video with them, but like, go look at the Yachting Graph. Yeah. Like that watch is so cool,
And the Flygraph.
The Flygraph is great,
which is like, kind of like their Speedmaster sort of, you know? Totally. And what's cool, so these are, they're not upscaled. They are the original proportions.
Yeah. You know? It looks like, it feels like you're picking up a new old stock vintage watch. It's like you found it.
And if
in
it
the
had
closet.
Like a friction bezel back in the day, it still has a friction bezel.
Yeah.
You know? Like they kept those details.
Yeah. Super excited.
Cool. And our last sponsor is Zodiac, also making their debut at Windup this year.
Yeah. I mean, like, equally excited for obvious reasons. I mean, they're just on this, like, crazy run of releasing these limited edition watches that sell out immediately. They're going to have new stuff at the show. Stuff's going to be for sale. They're going to have watches that are currently out. And, again, depending on the timing of this podcast, like, they'll have new stuff that you're not going to want to miss out on, for sure. Yeah. And the team's going to be there. They're great people.
They're a lot
super knowledgeable. Like, just want to talk about the brand.
Yeah, very enthusiastic.
And it's a small team, too, which is nice, considering you think of, like, Zodiac being, like, this big brand, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're within, you know, the Fossil Group. And I think when you hear that, you probably think one thing about how they operate and the size of the team. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a group of people that are very dedicated to the brand and very passionate and eager to talk about
it. They must seem like a rogue brand within the Fossil. Like, they kind of get to operate in their own way and style, and, you know.
Maybe Fossil just doesn't even know what's happening.
Yeah, maybe. You know, they're just like...
One of the things that we wanted to do different in this episode than we have in the past when we've talked about Windup is rather than going over every single brand, we wanted to open it up to our readers and our followers to questions. So we're going to do that.
If there's a question we don't answer or there's, you know, you want to know more about the brands that are coming, just head over to windupwatchfair.com. That's windupwatchfair.com. The full roster's there. Mm-hmm. We've got a video of last year's New York event so you can see what you might be, you know, heading into this year. There's photos from all the previous events, and there's also a form where you can sort of ask a question if you have one. But yeah, just check out the website. There's a lot of information there.
Yeah. So I figured we would start with one of the questions, and that's from D-Bads. And he asks, are there any new brands this year? So we've kind of covered some of the new brands, but I figured we'd cover some of the other ones as well. Yeah. Some of the new brands are Yema, Zodiac, Christopher Ward, which is not new, but they're returning after, again, a long hiatus from the show. Hamilton's here for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that because Hamilton's definitely been putting out a lot of great watches over the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, Hamilton's a great brand. They do a lot of good work, but the last 3 years they've been really hitting that enthusiast base hard.
Yeah. They kind of figured out that sweet spot on bringing back the heritage pieces. So
totally.
Like you get the like the accuracy the enthusiast wants, but the like, you know, build and kind of style that maybe is a little more consumer focused. Mm-hmm. Though the Pilot Pioneer, I mean, that's the most risky one they've done. And that's a small watch, 36 millimeters. They did not upscale it at all. And it's awesome. It's just a very, very nice watch.
Yeah. And Hamilton's one of those brands that like at previous events, people have always said like, oh, is Hamilton here? They've always asked. So they're not the smallest brand in the world. They're not like the best kept secret, you know, like everybody knows Hamilton. So I'm just excited that they're going to be there.
Totally.
You know, you're gonna be able to buy watches from them. You're going to get to see them in person. Mm-hmm. They're going to have all the new stuff. It's just going to be a great opportunity to sort of interface with them.
Yeah. So then we also have Grand Central Watch is going to be at the show.
Yeah.
So Grand Central Watch, for those of you who don't know, it's one of the best places in New York City to get your watch serviced. They've been around for, I think, three generations. They're based out of Grand Central Station. They've since expanded to a pretty big operation within Grand Central Station. Yeah, they're kind of like a legend within like New York watch scene as far as, you know, their history is concerned.
Yeah, they're just going to be actually at the sort of wind-up watch shop booth. They're going to be there helping us out with, you know, simple strap changing and things like that, but also welcome to doing that for other folks as time allows. And also, I think, just talk to you about service, answer servicing questions. They just want to interface with, you know, the folks who are coming to the event and, you know, raise awareness about their offering and, just be a service to the folks coming to the event.
Yeah.
And if you've ever wondered, you know, where the hell do I take my watch to get service? I mean, they're who I recommend. I think who we all recommend often.
They've got a really good reputation.
So, yeah. So, they're excited to have them come through. And it's a cool service that we haven't really had before at the show. So, I'm excited for them to come.
So if you've got like a watch that's been sitting in a drawer for the last, you know, 3 months because it hasn't been running, definitely like bring it by and just, you know, pick their brains about it.
Yeah.
So next up is Spinnaker. Spinnaker's making their debut at the show this year too.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Spinnaker, I think in the last year also is getting a lot of traction, especially through Instagram. You know, they're a fun, affordable dive watch brand. They've actually been around for a few years, but like I said, they kind of like fine-tuned what they've done, what they're doing.
They've gotten better.
They've gotten better. Yeah. I mean, they've gotten better in a way, but then also their designs have just gotten more fun or more kind of like on the kind of watch zeitgeist. So a little more vintage inspired. They're not afraid of doing things. You know, I think they're the kind of brand that they'll just do it and see if it works kind of thing. So like, you know, they have the Dumas, for example, which is sort of inspired by like an off kind of a weird Omega Plo Prof that was, you know, not the most popular watch ever. So it's got this big chunky case, but it has a different dot, stuff like that. We actually had the CEO of the company that's owns, you know, Spinnaker on a previous podcast, Vishal Tolani. Recommend listening to that because, you know, you can kind of hear a little bit more about their methodology from him. But yeah, exciting. You know, they're just fun and they're very affordable. I mean, they're like $300 to like $600 tops or something, mostly in the $300 to $400 range though.
Yeah. It's also another brand that you should just swing by and like look at it in the metal to see if it's something that, you know, works for you.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Also making their debut is Veyer.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Vera.
Not to be confused. Yeah. Very exciting brand too. You know, they recently released their first automatic watches, which Ilya covered. They had one that was, you know, Dirty Dozen inspired, which is one of the best Dirty Dozen inspired watches I think we've seen.
Yeah.
40 millimeter case, I believe.
Something like that. But it wears smaller. It didn't wear like a 40 millimeter case.
No, and they use the ETA 28.
It's a 2.8 family, but it has the sub dial at the sub seconds at 6 o'clock.
It's not a commonly used movement, really.
It's quite rare, actually.
Swatch Group. So
even they don't use it that often.
No. Hamilton had those khaki navies a few years ago. They used them, but since then, I'm not sure. Very cool watch. Really nice guys. California-based, kind of like outdoors, surf, field, modern-inspired watch. They're just, you know, enthusiastic. And I think they'd had some quartz field watches for a while, and then they, you know, I think learned from making those, and their new watches are really like show that they have evolved a lot, and, you know, very excited about what they're doing now.
The last brand, again, not new, but actually making their New York debut, they were at the San Francisco show, is Unwind in Time. So Unwind in Time, it's a company run by a husband and wife team, Jared and Deanna Harkness, and their focus is on vintage Hamilton electric watches. It's not the only thing that they sell. They sell vintage watches as well and electric watches from other brands, but that's primarily their focus. They're a really great, enthusiastic bunch of people who, you know, love these watches and really are the experts in the sort of niche of collecting. So if you've, you know, if you've got a Hamilton Electric, like a Hamilton Vega or a Ventura or something like that, definitely, you know, you can swing by and like talk to them about that. But also just like swing by and check out those watches because they're so cool and like of their era. They're really unique pieces. So definitely swing by and talk to them. And we talked to Jared on the podcast a couple of episodes back. So definitely check out that episode
as well. They have a lot of also just like weird vintage watches that you're not going to see elsewhere because they're kind of like off the beaten path. You know, they haven't been kind of picked up in that wave of trendy things. So I can't remember the exact name of it or the brand, but they had these really cool retrograde mechanical watches that just like they're square cases and the minute hand was just on the left side of it. And it was weird.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
I remember
like,
those.
So they have an interesting eye for things that are a little off. And they also have really cool stuff. Like they had
their display
sales,
amazing.
Display like a Hamilton balance, like electronic balance that's like, you know, 10,000 times the size of what it really is. So it's like, you know, a display thing for you to look at, and it's working.
Yeah.
And it was made in what, the 50s?
Yeah, those
like
are
that.
What cool. I learned actually from Bulova's team, because they had something similar when I went to the Bulova Museum here in New York, is that's what the salespeople would carry with them in like a little briefcase. Mm. And when they went to a dealer, they would open that up and be like, this is what we have new. This is how this movement works. So it's like they have cool paraphernalia like that there. But yeah, great vendor. Definitely check them out. So let's jump on to another question. So a couple of people, Kid Whistle and Pizza Me Jason, asked, do you have any plans for expanding into other cities or countries or anything like that? So Blake, you can speak to that a little bit. Yeah. Mars, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. The short answer is yes, for sure. The long answer is I can't say specifically where that'll be yet. But yeah, we definitely want to do more of them. To be totally honest, we're trying to get a third one for next year. So we'll kind of have a spring, summer, fall wind up calendar. And yeah, San Francisco is going to be in the spring. New York will always be in the fall. So we'll be looking to do one in the summer and somewhere in the middle of the country. So we're not on a coast.
There you go.
You can maybe deduce from there. But yeah, so we're just looking at spaces and trying to figure out where we want to go next. But yeah, we're definitely going to do another one. We've also considered taking it outside of the U.S. I don't know if the timing's quite right for that yet, but it is something we'd like to do. We have a lot of listeners and readers and customers and
around the
UK, all around the world. So, you know, when the timing's right, we definitely like to consider that for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the short answer is yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Your fantasy. How many wind-ups would you have if you could?
100. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to imagine that we would do more than like 4.
Yeah.
Only because I don't know how we'd space them out and all
might
that
be exhausting
kind of stuff.
For the brands too.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's a limitation to how many events brands can do and things like that. I have a general sense from the brands how many they want to do a year. I think we're definitely safe with 3. We'll see with 4. I think it also depends on where it is and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I've always said this, open to doing other forms of wind-up shows, you know, like bringing, you know, brands to other locations in a different capacity, maybe a smaller type thing, more of like a pop-up shop, that kind of stuff. But yeah, definitely just trying to replicate the concept as much as we can. Get in front of as many people as we can.
Cool. We also got asked, how do we choose the brands who come by to wind up?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's always a process. Obviously, you know, a majority of the brands that come to wind up every year sort of are the same between the two shows. And I'm sure that'll change more as we add additional events and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, not every brand is going to come to every event. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, in terms of picking brands, there's always more demand than there is space. And that's just a reality of this situation, especially, you know, in New York, yeah, there's like infinitely more interest than there is capacity. Mm-hmm. We try to pick brands, I think, that have recent releases. We don't, you know, we're trying to avoid, you know, having brands come that to particular events that haven't released something new or have something new and interesting to offer. I think generally speaking, we want to look at, you know, we don't want too much, you know, of the same thing at the show. So, you know, brands that offer something interesting. You look at a brand like, yeah, Unwind in Time is a great example. It's like, there's only one person who can really do that.
For sure.
So we want him to be at the show.
Yeah.
You know, or want them to be at the show. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think we get a lot of requests for people to come into the show. Not nearly all of them or even a majority of them can come.
It's also a matter that it's like, these are brands that we have featured on the website, you know, so for they've met that standard as well, that these are brands that we've thought, you know, are worth writing about, worth showing to our readers based on our, you know, at times completely, you know, subjective standards on these things. And then that they've also been responded to well, you know, not everything gets a great response. And that's a pretty good sign of whether or not they're going to have a good response at the show. And, you know, if they're just sitting there unhappy because no one's coming by their booth, that's not good for anyone. So, you know, there is a bit of that kind of gauging. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as the show time has gone on, we've kind of learned that process a little bit better even. And now, you know, every brand in that room is going to get an exciting response. Mm-hmm. I'm certain of it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, San Francisco was like that too. Like it was almost overload, but in a good way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so it's curated. It's very much curated. It's very much subjective, our choosing of the brands. If I had a room big enough to fit every brand that wanted to come, I would. But that's never going to become a reality. And I think, you know, that would also detract from what Wind Up is. I'd like, not to say that we could fill the Javits Center, but I don't want to have an event there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not what Wind Up's ever going to be.
Yeah.
It'd be like, at a certain, you get a blur when you go to a big event. Mm-hmm. I mean, even at Wind Up, you know, I feel like 2 days is probably ideal. If you can come twice, that's better because you kind of make a pass the first day, and then the second day you can kind of go in and drill down on specific things. Because
and we have a lot of people who do exactly that.
Oh yeah, they spend the whole weekend there. And I mean, if you can do that, and obviously, you know, I understand if you couldn't, but like, there's it's hard to take in 40 brands and their collections all in one sitting. It's just your brain isn't wired for it. So like, yeah, if we got 80 brands, you know, your head would be spinning and you wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Here's actually a good question. It might be in jest, but I think it's one worth asking. If I show up on Sunday, will everything be gone? No, that's the important thing about the show.
Yeah, no, everybody's still there on Sunday. I mean, if they're like super limited edition pieces, you know, or if like you want to go see StockX and hope that they have a GMT, like a Batman, like that might not be there anymore. Yeah. But
this
isn't
a sample sale.
Yeah, it's no. Like, yeah, but I mean, yeah, everyone's going to be there. They're going to have their watches. They're going to be just as excited, maybe a little bit more tired to talk to you on Sunday. But yeah, no, Sunday, generally speaking, Friday is very busy. Saturday is very, very busy. And I would say Sunday is also very busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but nobody's leaving early.
We got a really important question from the James 80. So what's the best spot to eat near Windup? This is critical.
Yeah.
So we often like don't have enough time to really eat, and it's kind of like a rush thing. And, you know, it's in Chelsea Market. And part of the convenience of that is Chelsea Market is full of restaurants. And there's probably actually 20 different restaurants that were even there last year. I'm pretty sure there's actually like a mozzarella specific restaurant there. So that's pretty awesome. But my personal recommendation is it's like a little butcher and sandwich place called Dickinson's, or I believe that's what it's called, Dickinson's Farm Stand. Mm. Just like really intense, meaty sandwiches. That's what got me through last year.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't think of an answer off the top of my head. I feel like every time I go, I can't get in anywhere. First of all, I like that they asked this question of us, because like, I think we're one of the few people that actually take this question seriously.
It's an important question.
Yeah, it's a topic of discussion at the event. Yeah, it's hard. You know what? Yeah, it's hard. There's like, there's long lines everywhere. We were bemoaning this earlier. There was a place that sold meat pies, like Australian meat pies.
Yeah, it's called the Tuck Shop. Rest in peace.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's no longer there. What a bummer. Because it was also like perfect because they were pre-cooked. They just heated them up. They handed them to you. You could walk away.
Yeah. They used to have a location somewhere downtown, and I used to go there because it was right across the street from this place that developed 8mm and 16mm film. So when I was like in film school, I would go drop off film and then end the day with a meat pie.
yeah. There's a lot. I mean, Chelsea Market's full of good food. There's a really good like flatbread pizza place across the hall that actually is very good. Mm-hmm. I feel like I got food there not too long ago. Don't leave Chelsea Market for food. There's a really terrible pizza place around the corner that I went there with Thomas from Crown and Buggle last year. Like we were like, oh, let's just go walk and get some food. And I just felt, I was like, this is not New York pizza.
It's too far west for anything like interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's also a very expensive area outside, you know, meatpacking district. Once was cool, whatever. Now it's like home to a very elegant Apple store. There's like one of those high concept Starbucks now on the corner, which I've yet to be. But yeah, last
what is
year
a
I
high
tried
concept to, Starbucks.
Yeah, I don't really know. No, but they're like they do something. I really don't know, but it's there. Yeah, last year I like tried to get lunch with my dad, and like there's like a not bad Mexican place down the block. There was a 45-minute wait. Yeah. The only place we could find was like a memorably terrible meal. You know, it was just like we got really ripped off, and it was like great. Yeah. And we, you know, so yeah, eat in Chelsea.
Yeah.
Or bring lunch, pack lunch.
Get a little lunchbox.
Yeah.
There's a really good place that I really like called Numpang. It's a little Cambodian sandwich shop, which I learned Numpang actually means sandwich in Cambodian.
Interesting. Is that the place like right outside down the hall?
So it's you go out and then you go to the right, and it's probably like maybe 3 or 4 like storefronts down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good. I recommend the peppercorn catfish.
There you go.
It's great.
So if you were looking for hyper-specific food recommendations for a very specific place, you've come to the right
there
podcast.
There you go.
So Windup is going to be October 25th to the 27th. Mm-hmm. It's a Friday through a Sunday in Chelsea Market, New York City. As always, it's free and open to the public. Hours are 11 to 6 on Friday, 11 to 7 on Saturday, and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be there all weekend. You should definitely come by and say hi.
Yeah. And again, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Hit us up at info@warnerwine.com. Hit our DMs.
Yeah. And head to windupwatchfair.com for more information for the full roster of brands.
Yep. Cool. Well, thanks so much. And we hope to see you there if you're around the tri-state area.
Yeah.
See you at Windup.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Warnerwine Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Looking for a new watch? A strap? Don't forget to visit the Wind Up Watch Shop. And of course, head to wornandwound.com daily for news and reviews of great wristwatches. Music tracks Nowhereland and Inspired are by Kevin MacLeod and are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0.